This is Women's Rights, a podcast about women's ordination, written and produced by students at Smith College.
Hi, I'm Abigail.
I'm Maddie.
And I'm Maya.
We're your hosts for this episode of Women's Rights. This season, we are exploring the story of Ordain Women, a feminist group working for women's ordination in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Ordain Women gained national notoriety for their direct action events in October 2013 and April 2014, and then again when their spokesperson, Kate Kelly, was excommunicated by the LDS Church in June of 2014. A decade after all of this, we talk with some of the women who helped organize Ordain Women and its direct action events, and we learn about the impact this group had on their lives and on the LDS Church, an organization that still does not ordain women.
Each episode of our series investigates a different topic. Today, for the first episode in our series, we're going to look at the journey to become a feminist for members of Ordain Women. We're going to ask Deborah Monson, Lori Stromberg, Hannah Wheelwright, Joanna Smith, and Nancy Ross, who all have experience with the organization Ordain Women, about their experience becoming an involved feminist in the Mormon Church and advocate for women's ordination.
To understand what sparked the fight for women's ordination in the LDS Church, we first asked our interviewees how they became feminists and what led them to the Ordain Women movement. Deborah Monson, a past Ordain Women board member and journalism professor, describes herself as a lifelong feminist, which in her adolescent years made the church feel like home for her. She discussed how her feminist ideology led her to feminist Mormon blogs before Ordain Women, including Feminist Mormon Housewives.
If you've ever talked to a Mormon feminist, this is how we all find each other. And at the time, in the early 2000s on the blog, we used pseudonyms. We did not tell each other who we actually were. I still have friends to this day who I've known for 20 years. We call each other by our pseudonyms from the FMH blog because there had been a culling in the late 90s. And individualism and activism and feminists were kind of like, not kind of, they were literally excommunicated. And we were afraid. And so one day in March 2013, I got a message on Facebook from someone that said, "Have you seen this?" with like 16 exclamation points, I think, and a link to the Ordain Women blog. And I went to it and I read every single profile. I read every page. I read every word. And I was convinced. I had like what at the time I would have described as like the spirit spoke to me. And I knew this was what I needed to be a part of. I needed to, at the very least, send in my profile. This was the answer to 25 years of praying.
Nancy Ross, the chair of the social media position for Ordain Women and a professor at Utah Tech, similarly shared how her faith was deeply tied to her feminism.
There's this history of women's ordination, or this question around women's ordination, where I thought the historical answer was women had never been ordained. And the reality of the question is it's a lot messier than that. And what we actually have are at least some clear indications, and at least some places, and at least some times, that at least some women may have been ordained. That is a historical thing. And it was like, wait, this is so weird. In the LDS Church, one of the beliefs that we have is that the LDS Church, as Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon movement, was like, so Joseph Smith is kind of living and working and doing church at a time when there was this idea of restorationism, the idea that there are some new religious movements emerging in the 19th century. And what they were actually doing, or they believed what they were doing, was like recreating Jesus's Christianity, like a kind which sometimes that's referred to as Christian primitivism, but like kind of recreating the early church in the 19th century where, you know, Christianity had gotten away from the right way or whatever, and we're like recreating that better right way. And that's Mormonism is a like subscribes to Christian primitivism. So this idea that they are reviving something. So if something was true in the very early church, it should be true in Mormonism. Now, that's not actually how things work at all. But in my like naive mid-20s, desperately searching for answers self, it's like this was an important answer for me. And I like a good Mormon, I was like, you know what? I should pray about this. And so I prayed and I was like, you know, like, God, is this whole women's ordination history thing, is like, this makes me feel some big ways. Is this good? Is this right? Is this true? And the feelings I got were like, I feel like the answer that I got was like, yeah, this is like meaningful. You should be paying attention to this.
Lori Stromberg, a Mormon feminist since the early days of the movement in the 1970s, shared how her feminist beliefs mixed with her religious beliefs.
We would have every Monday night throughout the church, they used to have what they called family home evening or family night. And so we would have those, we replicated that at the university as well. And one of my family home evening group sisters invited me to attend a meeting of the Utah Valley chapter of the Women's Political Caucus. It was not a big group at the time, but I went to it and I thought, oh, that's very interesting. And I was intellectually curious. And so I went, and that's where I learned about the Equal Rights Amendment. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is truly compatible, you know, this seems very right. And it seems like it would be compatible with my religious beliefs. At that point, I was asking questions about, but not in a very, not in a very sophisticated way about patriarchy and my place as a woman in both the secular and my religious society. And so I heard about the Equal Rights Amendment. I thought, well, this is perfectly compatible with things that I find that are right and good. But who wouldn't want women to have full equal status in the government? And, you know.
Next, we asked members whether they felt their advocacy was at odds with their faith and how they chose to reconcile this with their community. Mormon feminists have a long history of being ostracized for their feminism, and in many cases, facing excommunication. Deb Monson had this to say.
Not once. I never once felt like what I was doing was in opposition to the church. I prayed before I participated in anything. And I went to my bishop and read him my profile the day before it was going to go live and said, I did this. And I was in the Relief Society presidency. And I was like, I understand if you have to release me, but please do it now so that the other women don't get in, like, I don't want this to be a big thing. I was participating in advocating for my own personal revelation about myself. Mm-hmm. And that's wholly within bounds. It's wholly within bounds. And receiving personal revelation is 100%. It's been part of LDS doctrine since Joseph Smith, right? It's one of the articles of faith that we are allowed to, that this church is supposed to advance and receive continuing doctrine. If continuing doctrine doesn't mean we continue advancing the priesthood before it, you know, fills all the corners of the earth, then what does it mean? Those were my thoughts. And I would never have participated in anything that I felt was disrespectful or destructive to this church. This church meant everything to me.
Joanna Smith, an ordained women board member for 4 years, similarly felt her faith, as well as her family heritage, was calling her to advocate for women's ordination rather than placing her in opposition.
So my name is Joanna Smith. I don't know how much you know about Mormonism. But it was started by a man named Joseph Smith. The Joseph Smith Senior family is my direct family line. So I am a descendant of Hiram Smith, which was Joseph Smith Jr.'s brother. And so I wrote my profile. I showed it to my parents, and my dad made it very clear that he believed that this is what my calling was, and that this was beautiful, and that this church that I belong to specifically was made for me, literally, and that it was every person in the family. It was our job to make the church a better place, and that this was my role into doing that. So, at the beginning, I didn't see it as in opposition whatsoever. And to be fair, I still don't, even though that's against current brethren standards. I don't see ordaining women any part in even a tiny way about opposing Core Mormonism. My ancestors, my female ancestors, were ordained, and I have ordination dates and locations and when they were ordained and when they were endowed and then when they were given their second anointing.
Nancy Ross talked about how being involved in women's ordination activism and her feminist beliefs were interpreted by her faith community.
I think one of the things that is very difficult for people to understand, particularly within Mormonism, is that many women's desire to be ordained, who feel this way, comes from a place of faith and doesn't necessarily emerge from a super secular outside feminist influences place, which is often how such movements are perceived within a conservative community. Like Gloria Steinem got to you and now you want to be ordained. But that's kind of the feeling, is that there's kind of that secular feminism is like an infection and it will infect our women. And it's like, well, maybe I just wanted a better faith community, right? Like maybe I didn't want to experience sexism in my faith community. Maybe that was really harmful to me and I wanted to make it better. And believing that I had two little girls at the same time, like I kind of wanted it to be better for them. I wanted it to be better for me, but I also really wanted it to be better for them.
Finally, we asked the members why they chose women's ordination and what led them to it specifically. Given the broad nature of feminism, the merging of feminist advocacy with topics relevant to the LDS Church could have taken many forms. Our interviewees discussed their thoughts on why women's ordination was the issue they decided to take on.
Deborah Monson told us the following.
There are so many points of inequality at the church, in the church, that I believe truly all are like their locus, their center is this gender inequality in the priesthood, because priesthood is the power to act on behalf of heavenly parents on earth. Priesthood is foundational to the organization and the structure of the church. Priesthood is what is required for anything to happen, anything, a ward. We don't count women when we organize when we organize the local structures of the church, because we only count priesthood holders.
Lori Stromberg offered a similar explanation.
Well, I think that because of what I said before about in the church where every man, every young boy at 12 and over and man in the church is ordained and I just saw very clearly early on, you know, that it was inequitable. And I also was able to, you know, do a little research and look at, you know, separate but equal, you know, because equality doesn't mean sameness, you know, it means access, equal access and opportunity. That's what we're talking about. And further, in terms in a religious setting, I started thinking more seriously about it religiously as well. You know, if Christ was a role model for all of us in terms of those characteristics that are essential for a sanctified life then it seems to me that those characteristics that we we all share, that are good and noble, that we all hope to share, are not sex tied. I really, really started to question gender.
Joanna Smith told us how for her, the question of women's ordination was one that intersected with other feminist issues more broadly, and in a way quite personal.
The September 6th in the 90s, six feminist gays and intellectuals were, the prophet at the time said, the greatest enemy to the church is feminist gays and intellectuals. And six professors were excommunicated on the same day. And two of them were gay, two of them were intellectual Mormons, and two of them were feminists. The two feminists were excommunicated for Lavinia Fielding Anderson and Margaret Toscano. Both of them are dear friends of mine. And Lavinia has since passed away. And they advocated for women to get the priesthood. My aunt and uncle were dear friends with them. And so when I was a child, I think I was 12 at the time, there was a lot of hoopla around that because it hit our family personally. My aunt suddenly didn't come to my brother's wedding in the temple and things like that. And so it was like this punishment of exiling and silencing of my aunt that I visually saw happen. And so when I saw the same conversation come up that women should be ordained again, I immediately knew that I supported that. And I immediately knew that, like, that that's absurd and that we're not going to let that happen again.
Advocates for women's ordination show why the issue specifically is important to them as Mormon feminists and why they couldn't deny the call to join the ordained woman movement. Women's ordination is a long-felt issue that continues to permeate LDS culture. In our next episode, we'll look at methods for organizing for women's ordination.
That concludes our podcast for today. Our theme music was Bird Therapist by Craig MacArthur, used by an attribution non-commercial share alike Creative Commons license. Special thanks to Deborah Monson. Also thanks to Dan Bennett and Meredith Richter of the Smith Learning Research and Technology team. And thanks to the Religion Department that supports public-facing student writing at Smith College. Tune in next time on Women's Rights.